Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
We all sin and come short. And when you do it, how do you deal with that? Man, you confess it. Not for the purpose of, oh God, how could you love me? Oh God, I know you're angry. God, you won't answer my prayer. God, you can't fellowship with me. God, I lost my salvation. All of those are wrong things. The right way is to say, Father, thank you that in my spirit I am sanctified and perfected forever. I'm sealed, and thank you that this did not change your attitude towards me. Thank you that I am still the righteousness of God. Thank you that I still, at my worst, am better than the devil. Amen. I'm still righteous. I'm still holy. Thank you that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you that I can still have your power flow in my life. But I have just opened up a door to the devil. And Father, I repent of it. I turn from it. You were right. I was wrong. I am closing that door and opening my life back up to you. And when you do, this righteousness and holiness that's in you come flooding out into the flesh. And now Satan no longer has any right to dominate you. And it'll get rid of that sickness and get rid of your poverty and get rid of your depression and get rid of the bitterness and the hurt that you had by entertaining Satan and following his ways. Amen?
Amen.
So I believe that that's what 1 John 1:9 is talking about. Again, it cannot be talking about that you have to keep every sin confessed to retain your salvation or your relationship with God, because that's impossible. It just is impractical. You'd spend all of your time repenting. But you know what? You can, when you know that you've opened up a door to the devil, you can repent. You can humble yourself. And you can go to the person that you've offended and try and make it right. And you can say, God, you were right and I'm wrong. And every time you do that, it just slams the door on the devil. He no longer has any right because you are not yielded to him. You've renounced it by humbling yourself and repenting and turning from that sin. If you are participating in sin, you know, some people think that because I preach on grace, that therefore it doesn't matter what people do, they can just go live in sin. Man, that's not it at all. That is not even close. Man, I live a very holy life, but I live it not in order to get God pleased with me. God is pleased with me through what Jesus did. But I live holy because I don't want to give Satan a free shot at me. I don't want him to come in and hinder my life. And when I do sin, I'm quick to repent of it and to humble myself. And you know what? The people that are in leadership in our ministry and in our Bible college and stuff like this, if they get into sin, it depends on what it is. If it's just, you know, they made a mistake, if their temper's flared and they didn't treat somebody the way that they should, well, we go talk to them and we try and reconcile. And all of us are in varying stages of growth. But if somebody's in leadership in our ministry, we just had a guy in not our U.S. office, but one of my other foreign offices that just was going to leave his wife and marry one of the Bible college students. And he did it blatantly, openly. And you know what, boy, I didn't deal with it, but the director of that Bible college called this guy in and said, this is unacceptable behavior. Man, you are supposed to be setting a standard. Now, we told the guy, God loves you. We didn't say, you're going to hell. Repent or else, turn or burn. But we did say that you're a leader, and this is not the example that we want to set. And this guy voluntarily resigned and got out of the ministry. But you know what, we don't allow people like that to be in leadership. You aren't qualified to lead. It's not because God doesn't love him. God loves him exactly the same as he did before. But you know what? When we treated him that way, he realized what a severe mistake that was, and he's decided to stick with his wife and work the thing out. And it was good that we responded the way that we did. I'm very strict. I believe that there are consequences to your actions. But there is a difference between consequences and God rejecting you. The moment you start believing that God is orchestrating the consequences, that God is causing your demise because you've done something wrong, then you've put yourself back under the Old Testament law. You are reaping what you deserve instead of approaching God through the blood of Jesus by a new and living way. Amen. And the moment you do that, you are out of the new covenant and back into the old covenant. And boy, Satan is just going to destroy you. But just because I believe that, you know, I could go commit adultery and God would love me the same. I really believe that. And I know some of you just cringe thinking, no. Well, there's a number of reasons I don't do that. First of all, Romans chapter 6. I still got a few minutes, or I'm going to take them anyway. Let me just use this. Let me use this real quickly in Romans chapter 6. The first five books of Romans are really making this point that you are justified by faith and not by your own works. And it's preaching grace, the exact same thing that we've been teaching from the book of Romans. And then Romans chapter 6 verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul's answer is in verse 2, God forbid. And in the Greek language, that is as strong a negative, a rejection as you can get without using profanity. Matter of fact, there's one translation that I don't talk that way, but it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Blankety blank knows the way that this translation says it. And that's basically the point that Paul's getting across. But before I go into his answer here, let me say this. That if you've never heard the gospel preached the way that I've been talking about this week, so that it brings up this question, can we just live in sin because you've been forgiven of all sin? You're sanctified and perfected forever. Does that mean that I can just go live in sin? If that question never comes to you, then you didn't hear the gospel that Paul preached. Because Paul said that five times here in the book of Romans, twice in this sixth chapter, also in the book of Galatians. If that question never comes up, if grace hasn't been preached to such an extent that it makes you wonder, can I just live in sin because God's forgiven me of all sin? Well, then you hadn't heard the true gospel. And you know what? Most of you have never had that question come to you by listening to a preacher. Most preachers are so dead set of preaching on sin and God's going to get you and judge you that never comes up because that's not the true gospel. But if you preach grace the way that Paul preaches it, this will be a logical conclusion. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Then he gives two reasons here in the sixth chapter of Romans. The first one is, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I could preach on this for a couple hours. I'm not going to do that. Let me just real quickly say that it's in the spirit. Your born again spirit has no desire for sin. Zero. It is sanctified, perfected forever, and it cannot sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Your born again spirit cannot sin. It has no propensity for sin, no desire for sin. So the first reason that you don't go live in sin is because if you're truly born again, you don't want to live in sin. It says over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. And then verse 3, it says, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. If you are truly born again, if you have this hope on the inside of you, as verse 2 is talking about, then you seek to purify yourself. You may be doing a poor job of it, because actually legalism increases your lust for sin. That's another teaching. But it's true. You tell a person, thou shalt not, and something on the inside of them says, bless God, I shall. When people preach against sin, you watch it. The people who are screaming against sin and don't do this, there'll be a rash of those exact sins they preach against.
That's right.
And that is I could verify that by Scripture, but that's another teaching. So, you may be doing a poor job of living holy because maybe you haven't heard the truth and you haven't been set free from this. But if you are truly born again, number one, you want to live for God. So preaching on the grace of God doesn't free you to sin. It frees you from sin and allows you to start living holy and living free from sin. Then the second reason that you don't live in sin is verse 16, and I've already used that a couple of times tonight. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. The second reason you don't live in sin is because it is a direct inroad of Satan into your life. So you don't live in sin because you don't want to live in sin. First of all, if you're truly born again, you want to live for God. You would rather live holy than live unholy. A person who would take what I'm saying and say, oh, I love this. Man, I can go live in sin. You have just given me a license for sin. I'd say, well, you're doing pretty good without a license. But any person who would take what I'm saying as a license to sin, you ought to get born again. Because your heart is wrong. You're just religious. You were never born again. A person who's truly born again wants to live for God. And the second reason, you give Satan an inroad into your life, and you are not going to succeed just letting Satan take free shots at you. So those are two main reasons. I could actually add a third reason to this, and I believe that that is that how are you going to set another person free if you aren't free yourself? How are you ever going to witness to somebody else if you are in bondage and sick and broke and bitter and hurt? And so your witness is totally blown if you are living in sin. So those are three really good reasons not to live in sin. Because first of all, your nature's been changed. You don't want to live in sin. It's a direct inroad of Satan, and your witness is not going to be any good if you're living in sin. And so when it comes to leadership, I will not put people in leadership who don't have the manifested presence of God in their life enough that they are living a life of integrity. And some people think, well, that sounds contrary to your grace. No, it's not. And somebody says, so you don't deal with people by grace? Sure I do. I love everybody by grace. I love them, but you know what? I reward people who do a good job. There are rewards in the body of Christ. God loves every one of us. We have access into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way. But you know what? The people who are doing what's right will have God bless and prosper you and release His power in your life in a way that other people won't. Praise God.
This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK156 titled Nagging Questions when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net.
I'd like to encourage you as you write in to get these materials. Remember, today is our last day to offer you this teaching as a gift. But when you call or write, I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with us. You know, the things that we're doing, we're reaching people all over the world, and this is changing people's lives. I can guarantee you that the things that I said today changed millions of people's attitudes all over the world. But it cost a lot of money to do this, and there's other people that we could reach if we just were on more outlets, if we were on more times per day. We need people to stand with us, and I'd like to ask you that if you've been blessed by this ministry, then be a blessing to someone else. Call that number and become a partner today.